From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 30th day of October 2018. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson. He's at L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana. I'll remind you to pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference at farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. We'll check in on the agricultural weather forecast with Don Day at Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. And we'll discuss the new era of agricultural prices and acreage allotment with Todd Hubbs, ag economist at the University of Illinois. A more targeted look at the conversation we had yesterday with him as it relates to China, trade policy, and ethanol. And we'll do all of that right here on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, on this Tuesday afternoon, we're joined by Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of Newmarket, Indiana, to take a look at what happened in Chicago. Hi, Wayne. It looks like another day of a down market, despite the fact that yesterday afternoon we saw some numbers that look pretty good as it relates to crop progress across the nation, certainly for corn and soybeans coming along quite handily as well.
Yeah, you know, we started the good rally sort of on the wheat with the idea that we sold a couple boatloads to Egypt, and that started the rally and the thought that wheat was going to lead our way out of this thing. Then yesterday we saw Russia lower their export price to go up back underneath our price and whatever, so that sort of slowed down the wheat and slowed down everything else as we look here, too, and sort of a technical sell-off today with the dollar being strong, with crude being lower, and the stock market gaining back a little bit.
We have, over the last couple of weeks, pegged a lot of the potential upward momentum after harvest on wheat being able to rally. Much of that on the idea that Russia's crop, that of Kazakhstan, and Western Europe for this year wasn't that great. Can Russia maintain their export potential with that wheat, or will we see them begin to drop off again sometime soon?
I think that we'll probably see them drop off after a bit, Todd. The interior prices are coming up, which means that they're wanting to bid up for the wheat to use in-country. And as that gets higher priced, then it's going to come back in to get where we're trying to get competitive again that way. But for right now, they're full bore trying to keep the market and get as much export as fast as they can because they love to get some other dollars in their country.
So that's been a suppressing factor on both the soybeans and the corn, mostly just not being able to drag it higher. We'll, I suppose, find some buoyancy from wheat if it rallies again. Otherwise, it looks like we've got a really good corn crop and a really good soybean crop. Any expectations on the early side yet as to what USDA will do in their crop production numbers when they come out for the month of November?
Well, we're not sure that they'll lower the corn on this one, but we they probably should because of all the wind we've had and the snow up in the west northwest and along those lines. But we do feel that they're, with all of the damage and all the down beans that we've seen in between here, that they could easily lose a bushel or so on the beans. So we are looking for maybe a little lower bean production number, but unfortunately we keep looking at lower sales numbers every week too on the beans. We don't seem to see the other countries that bought from South America coming in and picking up as much as we'd hoped they had in the beans that way. So, you know, it is a little bit disappointing. That along with the good weather in South America, it's in China, of course, buying nothing from us like that. So then China coming out with their statement yesterday saying their consumption is going to fall by 14 million tons as they cut back their protein levels for their hogs.
You know, so they're doing everything they can to make sure U.S. soybeans and, well, any kind of oilseed doesn't have to be used as much to feed their herd. And they're in the midst of an African swine fever event in that nation, too, though it's not clear exactly how much of their hog herd is impacted by that one. So things will, I suppose, clarify as we go through November and then get into December, and President Xi and President Trump will meet in Argentina. There aren't very many expectations being put on that particular meeting at this point. Is that worrisome to you?
Well, it is and it isn't, because we kept talking yesterday. The headline came out that killed the stock market in the afternoon was that if we can't make some progress of that there would be talks ahead, not necessarily progress as negotiating, but at least that they'd be willing to make some concessions. Sounds like some more tariffs are coming on, and that's exactly what China said, don't threaten us, and that's what we're sort of doing again. So I think even less optimism for that meeting than what they're talking about otherwise.
What are producers calling you and asking you most about at this point? I assume
have we bottomed yet? Should we buy something here?
Do you have a good answer for them?
I said, well, maybe we better wait a little bit. But because basically along the way here, you know, we're seeing crude oil back off with the idea that we've got heavy stocks here now. The funds have started liquidating some of their positions in the crude with the idea after Saudi Arabia said they'd make up the difference on the sanctions on Iran. So we've got a big crude thing out there, and crude generally helps the oil price, the bean oil price, and the ethanol price. So that's not helping us anyhow that way. But we do have some widespread Midwest rains next week. It looks like harvest is going to slow down here. And, you know, maybe we can get a little bottoming action like we had middle of last week coming up tomorrow.
Hopefully we'll have something to talk about with you and Pete Manhart, Bill Mayer, Merrill Crowley, and Todd Hubbs by the time we get to Farm Assets Conference on the positive side.
Well, I think so. You know, we've got the crop report will be coming out next week, and we'll be, you know, pretty well done with harvest by then. And we have seen basis levels start to come in as the farmers get done in their different areas. You know, they're staying wide until they can get done in their area. But, you know, we saw the corn basis come in over 25 cents, you know, in the Decatur area. And as we come in here this morning, we did see that the ethanol plants had narrowed their basis a little bit over here. Still very wide, but narrower than it was the day before.
That's movement in the right direction. Hey, thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That, of course, is Wayne Nelson of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana. He will join us on the 20th day of November at the Farm Assets Conference. That's scheduled for Normal, Illinois. If you've not been to this event, it's our fifth year, and I think we've just got a stellar lineup for you. You can see that lineup online at farmassetsconference.com. In fact, you can buy your tickets there, too, farmassetsconference.com, for the conference on the 20th day of November. That's the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving, in Normal, Illinois. Yesterday afternoon, the United States Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop progress report. It shows that farmers are right on target for harvesting corn. The rolling five-year average is 63%, and this year, they're at 63%. Soybeans, however, are lagging behind. The five-year average is 81% harvested at this point, and as of Sunday, 72% of the soybeans had been harvested. Winter wheat across the nation is now 78% planted. 85% is the rolling five-year average. 63% of that crop is up and out of the ground. Emergence is normally at 67%. It's said to be in 45% good and 8% excellent condition. Last year, those numbers were 43% and 9% respectively. Now, here are updates from state statisticians in Iowa, Illinois, Indiana, and Minnesota.
This is Ben Torrance, agricultural statistician for the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office. Iowa farmers had a good week for harvesting with 5.8 days suitable for field work last week. Taking advantage of the dry conditions, activities for the week included harvesting corn and soybeans, baling stalks, anhydrous and manure application, fall tillage, and planting cover crops. Topsoil moisture levels rated 0% very short, 0% short, 79% adequate, and 21% surplus. 49% of the state's corn for grain crop has been harvested, 3 days ahead of last year, but 3 days behind the five-year average. Farmers in southeast Iowa have harvested 65% of their corn for grain, while farmers in northeast and southwest are yet to cross the 40% mark on their corn for grain harvest. Moisture content of field corn being harvested averaged 18%. Corn condition rated 69% good to excellent. Soybean harvest was 71% complete, a week behind the average. This is the smallest percentage of soybean crop harvested by October 28th since 2009. Pasture conditions rated 52% good to excellent. Feedlots are drying to more favorable condition. For the USDA NAS Upper Midwest Region Field Office, this is Ben Torrance.
This is Mark Schleusener, state statistician for Illinois with the USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service. Last week was colder than average and drier than normal across Illinois. Temperatures were 5 to 6 degrees below normal, and rainfall totals ranged from 1/10 of an inch to more than 1/2 inch. Overall, rainfall averaged less than 4/10 of an inch, which is 2/10 below normal for the week. Soil temperatures ranged from the mid to upper 40s in northern Illinois to the lower 50s in southern Illinois. There were 5.3 days suitable for field work last week. Wheat planting moved forward significantly, while corn and soybean harvest advanced by smaller amounts. Topsoil moisture was rated 1% very short, 4 short, 89 adequate, and 6% surplus. Corn harvest advanced 7 points and is now 89% finished, compared to 71% 1 year ago and 79% for the 5-year average. The Illinois soybean crop is now 86% harvested, compared to 85% last year and 84% normally. Wheat planting moved forward by 21 points and reached 74% finished. That compares to 76% normally. 50% of wheat acres have emerged, compared to 49% normally. The condition of the winter wheat crop was rated as 9% of acres in very poor to poor condition, 25% fair, and 66% of wheat acres in good to excellent condition, a little better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service, reminding everyone to be on the lookout for harvest activities as you drive in rural areas.
This is Dan Loftus, state statistician for the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office. Good harvest progress was made early, but rain and damp weather limited field activities late in the week. There were 4.9 days suitable for field work. Field activities for the week included harvesting corn, soybeans, potatoes, sunflowers, and sugar beets. Some reports of manure application, fall tillage, and corn stalk chopping and baling were also received. Topsoil moisture supplies rated 0% very short, 1% short, 72% adequate, and 27% surplus. Corn harvested for grain was 58% complete. That's 1 week ahead of last year, but equal to the 5-year average. Corn moisture content of grain at harvest averaged 19%. That's down 1 percentage point from last week. 87% of the soybean crop was harvested, and that's 4 days behind last year and 1 week behind average. Sunflower harvest was 58% complete. That's 5 days behind average. Potato harvest was nearing completion at 96% complete, and the sugar beet harvest was 92% complete, and that's 3 days behind average. Pasture condition was rated 47% good to excellent. For the USDA NAS Minnesota Field Office, this is Dan Loftus.
This is Stephen Dothage with the Great Lakes Regional Office of the National Agricultural Statistics Service with the Indiana Crop and Weather Report. Harvest was back in full swing last week, thanks to the dry and cool weather throughout most of the state. Below average temperatures brought reports of frost in the northern part of the state, with some areas reporting the first snowfall of the season as well. The statewide average precipitation was 0.2 inches. There were 5.2 days available for fieldwork for the week ending October 21st. Growers were able to make significant progress on corn and soybean harvests as fields dried out. High winds in the north and central parts of the state resulted in reports of corn damage in some fields. Livestock were reported in good condition, aided by continued pasture growth, particularly in the central and southern parts of the state. Winter wheat planting remained slightly ahead of schedule compared to previous years. Other activities for the week included fall tillage, hauling grain, and planting cover crops. This is Stephen Dothage reporting.
Our thanks go to the state statisticians for their weekly updates of crop progress across the nation. Hey, do me a favor, visit our website at willag.org. There you can pick up your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. They're just $40. If you need more details, they're all on the website at farmassetsconference.com. At either place, you can buy your tickets, and I'd encourage you to talk to your co-op or your elevator operator. I personally think they'll want to be there this year, and, well, maybe they'll want to bring you too. Anyway, farmassetsconference.com, willag.org. The tickets are just $40. The conference is November the 20th in Normal, Illinois. You know, since the middle of the last decade, agricultural economists, farmers, and policymakers have talked about a new era of agricultural prices at a higher plateau. That era may or may not be coming to an end. The last 10 years have seen the build-out of the ethanol infrastructure in the United States and the push for red meat production in China. The first caused U.S. farmers to raise more corn to grind for ethanol. The second pushed the expansion of soybean acreage to feed hogs in China. Both drove prices higher and caused acreage to change here and around the planet. That era may be coming to an end, says University of Illinois agricultural economist Todd Hubbs.
You know, we talk about the new era of prices, well, it led to a new era of acreage allotments, and I think maybe we're at the start of unwinding this build in corn and soybean acreage.
There are two reasons for the unwinding. First, the federal legislation, which drove the increase in corn acreage, is capped out. It actually did that back in 2015. Now the Trump administration is calling to open up the whole gasoline supply to 15% ethanol blends rather than 10%. However, because the infrastructure is not in place for that to happen and seems unlikely to be built out by a resistant oil industry, it won't move the dial on corn usage enough to really matter, say the ag economist at Illinois. Driving the price of corn higher based on new domestic ethanol demand then is over. Second is the trade war with China. This one nation had consumed about 40% of the U.S. soybean crop until now. It has essentially shut that gate in a struggle with the United States to determine which nation is likely to be the world's economic superpower in the future. China wants to do it with a combination of capitalism and a planned economy under communism. The United States uses democracy and capitalism. The distinction is important because it may give China the upper hand in the short run. It can simply choose without political ramifications how to organize resources. Those choices are right now reallocating acreage in the United States because farmers are making next year's cropping decisions today. It's exactly what the U.S. Secretary of Agriculture last week said they should do.
So the market will equilibrate over a period of time, and farmers will look at the markets and make their marketing and planning decisions the way they always do.
And what they mostly always do is to make their planting decisions based on crop rotation needs and price. The price of soybeans won't be high on that list for next year, says Hubbs, but it will be in terms of the crop rotation with corn.
It really does change the allotment. You know, what do we rotate with? If we keep expanding corn acreage and continue to see these unbelievable yields across the country, you know, we might have knocked ourselves out of that new era of prices, or at least we're going to be pegged in the low range of that new era of prices for the foreseeable future.
This is the closing market report for this 30th day of October 2018. Don Day is here. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. Good afternoon to you, Don. Thanks so much for being with us.
Good to be here.
So yesterday, I take it you had a good day, meaning the weather was pretty nice. Maybe not so much today. Can you tell me about that and then how that plays into what we're going to see here? Because it's just gorgeous this afternoon.
Yeah, the last 10, 15 days of October have been really quite nice. And that's about ready to change. We still have high pressure and warm conditions across the Midwest and Corn Belt right now, but across the Pacific Northwest, the Northern Rockies, Northern Plains states, colder air is settling in. Places yesterday that actually had made the low 80s in eastern Colorado will likely have some snow tonight and tomorrow morning. And some of that colder air is going to be spreading eastward into the Plains states, so do be ready for some colder weather, and there's going to be a little bit of shower and thunderstorm activity, especially in the southern areas, the Mississippi Delta area, then up across some of the central, eastern, and southern Corn Belt. Going to see some pretty good shower activity along with those colder temperatures.
Enough to keep producers out of the field if, and I know for soybeans it just generally will, but enough to keep them out of the field if they're harvesting corn still?
Yeah, now I think the areas they're going to get the most wet are probably the farthest along with harvest. So in terms of if there's going to be an area where there's going to get a lot of wetness, this is where it's going to be. It looks like portions of southern Missouri, central southern Illinois, southern Indiana into Ohio, those are the areas that will be most wet. It doesn't look like it's going to be as wet in the western and northern Corn Belt areas that are further behind.
We probably better check in on tomorrow evening for Halloween. Who's going to have the best Halloween candy getting weather in the nation, do you think?
Well, there'll be a couple of areas. First of all, anybody along the West Coast, California, desert Southwest, it'll be nice and warm. No need to bundle up. They'll need to dress warmly, but across the north central United States, the upper Midwest, the Dakotas, Minnesota, Wisconsin, Iowa, Nebraska, it'll be dry, just chilly. Then you get in the southeast, the Carolinas, Florida, those areas look dry. Where it looks wet for trick-or-treaters is going to be across Texas, Arkansas, Missouri, and across the southern reaches of Illinois, Indiana, and Ohio.
Hey, thanks so much. We appreciate it.
Boo.
That, of course, is Don Day. He is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. You've been listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like at willag.org, willag.org. While you are there, you'll also find a way to purchase your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. That's coming up the 20th day of November in Normal, Illinois. And there is a way to do that online at willag.org, willag.org. Or if you prefer, you can always go to the Farm Assets Conference website. That's farmassetsconference.com. You can even make a phone call if you'd want to buy those tickets. The number is 800-898-1065. Let me give you that number again. It's 800-898-1065 to buy your tickets for the Farm Assets Conference. The cost is just $40, and that includes your meal for the Tuesday prior to Thanksgiving in Normal, Illinois at the Marriott Hotel. This is a fantastic venue for a conference, and it's a great lineup for the day. We'll talk about the future of farming and how marketing's going to change, what farm policy impacts you can expect over the next few months, and, of course, the price of land. FarmAssetsConference.com. Buy your tickets today.